When I was younger, Legos were my favorite thing to play with. I had a huge bucket with scattered Legos. I learned much later that a bucket of Legos can make a structural engineer. Who knew? I bet Jordan did. Today, Zach got to catch up with Jordan Fiedler. And while I'm jealous he got to chat, I got to listen to it first. If you've ever seen Legos representing structural engineering the right way, I bet you've seen one of Jordan's videos. Let's learn how we can make learning a little more fun and easier too.
The Structural Engineering Podcast.
Thanks for having me on today. My name is Jordan Fiedler, and I'm a structural engineer in South Carolina.
Well, today we're meeting to talk about Lego. You know, I was on Instagram one day and came across your profile and was like, my goodness, there's a structural engineering that's teaching structural engineering with Lego. How did the idea of teaching structural engineering with Lego start?
So it was back during COVID. Everybody was at home and we had just had our first, we had our son in January of 2020. And I was always a huge fan of Lego. And that's really kind of how I picked to do structural engineering. And then how I picked structural engineering. But I was building the UCS Millennium Falcon, which is a huge Star Wars set if you're a Star Wars fan. And you start with building this frame and it's like plates on top of beams. And then you click them in with these Technic pins. And I was explaining to Caitlin, this is like composite beams. And she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you know, composite beams, like that I design at work. And so she says, do you think people would be interested in this kind of content? And not in a mean way. And I was like, yeah, I think that this could have, you know, some impact and people would be interested. So I started this profile. Now I didn't have a name and she helped me come up with the name Brickjourneer. And yeah, that's how it started. I just was like, how can I build these Lego sets that I love to build and bring my work and my experience and my background into it? So the deer in the headlights look from Caitlin on what composite beams are turned it into a crazy path for the last 5 years on Instagram and social media.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Is this something you grew up playing with? I always think that, you know, probably a lot of structural engineers learned about structural engineering almost from their childhood.
Yeah, for sure. So I always wanted to be an astronaut. And then someone kindly pointed out that, like, you get violently motion sick when you go on any type of car ride or roller coaster. So astronaut's probably not your calling. So I was like, okay, what's as close to being an astronaut without having to actually get in a capsule? And it was, okay, I'll do aerospace engineering. And then I got to Clemson. So I went to Clemson in Clemson, South Carolina. And freshman year, they do a really good job of introducing you to like all of the different types of engineering. And my advisor said, you know, why did you pick this? Or what did you like to do when you were younger? And I said, I like to build with Lego and Connects. And he said, well, why in the world are you picking aerospace engineering? Like, you need to do structural engineering. And I didn't even know what that was. So yeah, I signed up for the civil engineering and the rest is kind of history. Yeah, Lego kind of led me to that. And then thankful for my advisor who was like, what are you doing with picking something that has nothing to do with what you've like done building things, you know, stationary things with Lego.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. What within structural engineering, what type of structures do you typically work on?
Really only heavy industrial. So Okay. That's been my entire career has been heavy industrial. So microelectronics, pharmaceuticals, textiles, manufacturing. Pretty much any type of ugly building that most of the time doesn't have walls is something that I've most likely designed. Nothing really flashy.
Wow. So the content on your Instagram page kind of seems like, from my observation, there's kind of two directions it goes. One where it teaches, you know, simplified statics or mechanics almost of structural engineering. And then one that's like showing buildings and more of the structure side of how kind of things work together. Could you walk through kind of how you use Lego to explain, you know, let's say a simple sketch or kind of walking through that?
Sure. So, I'm always noticing things. So if we're traveling or you're laughing because you're probably the exact same way. Like, oh, yeah. I'm noticing stuff kind of everywhere I go. And I don't know if you're a Seinfeld fan, yeah. But they, you know, Jerry gets assigned to do a pilot for NBC and he's like, what am I going to do? And he's stressing about it. And then they're sitting talking in the coffee shop and George is like, this is the show, talking about nothing, like talking about nothing. So my life is like looking at how they, you know, they're building a high rise downtown. I go look at it and see, oh, okay, it's made out of concrete. Okay, they're doing no beams. They're doing just a flat slab. How can I build something simple out of Lego and kind of explain this? Or like, we have a big parking garage at our mall. So I made several posts and a lot of content out of just parking and making, you know, a minute's worth of videos and then splicing those into different types of content. Because, you know, these people interact with structures all the time, but they have no idea. It's kind of like until you point out, hey, this is why this works and this is why they did this. And the people are like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. And it's like, yeah, I mean, structural engineering is pretty straightforward for the most part. It's just you have to kind of be told almost what you're kind of looking at. So with Lego, it is a really great tool to teach, but it does have limits. So you can't teach super complex, like how a building interacts with the soil. You're kind of like, this is just great for a beam and show you how a beam is loaded and how it deflects. I don't know. It's kind of, yeah, I just have really enjoyed it as a medium to show structural engineering.
Yeah. It made me think of a trip my wife and I took to Europe, and we had a layover in Rankovic at the airport, and I was taking some pictures and she's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, this is really cool. It's a crucifix column and there's special moment frames going both directions into this column. And she's like, what are you even,
yeah,
you know, just like your composite beam. And I was, yeah, trying to walk her through it. And she's like, how did you even notice that? And I was like, just this community of structural engineers, this is like all we focus on.
Because I'm sick. That's why I noticed it, is because I'm sick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like all these pictures of zoomed in on the end connections. I'm like, no, I wouldn't have done it this way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That word that Zach kind of said, this is Keflavik International Airport in Reykjavik, Iceland. The architecture of this building is perfect because it looks fairly mundane from the outside. And the engineering is just so impressive inside. The pictures don't do it justice. Flights are surprisingly cheap.
Do you remember what the first concept you modeled was?
The first concept that really kind of took off, I did a lot of trial runs. So,
okay,
of like frames, and I'm like pushing them to get them to deflect. And I was like, man, this isn't really working. But the first one that kind of like worked was, it was Christmas of 2023. So it was a year after our daughter was born. And, I had heard in a talk, I don't remember where I heard it, but someone said, hey, like a couple days before Christmas is when you should post something that you really want everyone to see, because everybody takes a break over Christmas and shares with their family and whatever. And it went from like, this works, like this concept works, to like, what have I done? Because I made a reel where I just put blocks together and made like a little beam. And I pushed down in the middle and I said, hey, this is why blocks need like a lintel. They can't, when you have compression in the top of a beam and tension in the bottom of a beam, the bricks separate and you could see it physically in the, wow, in the model. And it just went crazy. Like it's had like 25 million views. I mean, I got like 15,000 followers overnight. I mean, I went from like 5,000 followers to 100,000 followers in a week.
Wow.
And it was kind of like, what have I done? Because I had text messages from people that I knew that lived in different states. And they're like, hey, we're at, like one of my best buddies at church. He texted me and said, hey, I'm at my girlfriend's house, like two states away. And they're talking about your content at Christmas Eve dinner. And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? Like I have pictures of me, you know, like, what if I said something that's not right? You know, I just was like,
yeah,
you know, worried about, oh my goodness, it's in front of so many eyes. But it was really cool to see just interactions and, yeah, people just, something that's super simple to you and me and it's obvious, kind of explained in a cool little, you know, 45-second video. that they can learn something about is pretty cool. But yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking to know that that many people are tuning into your content.
Yeah, you're teaching everyone structural engineering and hoping you're doing it right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've had a few friends from the West Coast send me some of your content, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool stuff. And
yeah,
they're like, so this is all you do for work? And you're like, yeah, we just play much. Lego every day. And to an extent, it's true. I mean, we get to do some pretty cool things as structural engineers. So what structural concept do you think, you know, over the years doing this has translated best in a Lego model?
The best is showing like deflected shapes. I use a lot of like, they call them axles. So it's like, imagine like a 10 inch long little, you know, 1/8 inch thick tube, you know, that's made out of Lego, just plastic. It's super easy to deflect. You can, if you have it like a column, you can push on the end and show it buckling. If you have it laid down horizontal as a beam, you know, you can have it be continuous and show positive moment, negative moment, deflected shapes. That seems to be the easiest to show, along with like a difference between a pinned connection. So Lego has a lot of cool pieces where, like Technic especially, where you can have a pin, like a completely pinned joint. So you have, you know, it's free to rotate, and you can show like, hey, here's how, if you push on a frame, here's how it will react. And then they have rigid pieces as well, you know, that are 90 degree, fixed. So it's like, okay, you push on it and you see, you can't tell in the video, it's harder to push, but you can see in the deflected shape, like, okay, there's different moments, there's different things going on without someone knowing what moment actually means. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's okay, I can see it's like, it's bending more so than just like rotating and allowed to shift. So I try to stay not super technical because, yeah, it just seems like the more technical I get, the more I try to like explain it. And I think the less amount of words I can use, the best.
Right. Yeah. Like you push on that model.
More visuals. People can observe more visuals. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Has this helped? Like, have you been able to teach younger engineers that you work with or even yourself, like, oh, this is like reinstilling those engineering almost basics that you learned in college?
Yeah. More so for me. And then and I also think back, thinking back to when I started working. So I started as an intern after my sophomore year of college, and I worked at the same place until that company was bought and changed in 2022. Yeah, 2022. So I had, you know, 12 years working with the same guys, and they really just took the time. They were excellent at taking something super complex and making it easy. Like, you know, as an intern, I felt like you're going to take on the world and I'm going to help them, you know, so much and improve this. And it didn't take long to realize, man, I don't know anything. Like, and for them to take the time that they took, you know, to draw out free body diagrams and to point out like, hey, you know, your wind's applied here in your model, but it doesn't make sense. If you add up all the wind in your model, it's like double what it should be, you know, like easy right. checks. So I try to think about that when I'm doing a model for Instagram, is just like, okay, how can I take something as complex as like, you know, these steel connections and dumb it down to something. It's not being dumbed down because people aren't smart. It's being dumbed down because, you know, I just got a certain number of Lego pieces that I can use.
Yeah.
And how can I get the point across and do the extremes, like the point of a completely pinned versus a completely fixed in connection. And then real life is somewhere in between. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, it's one of the common things structural engineers do is check that deflected shape to make sure things are being loaded correctly, especially using, you know, as we all call them, those black box, you know, programs.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool thing that you can see repetitively, in the content you're making, is like, it's just so blatantly obvious what is happening because it's deflecting so nicely and, sure. you know, seems so accurate to what we all learned. I'm curious, do you know how many pieces, like individual pieces of Lego you have, or like an estimate?
Yeah, so there are apps where you track all the, sets you have. It's well over 100,000. I don't know, wow. Which compared to some other Lego collections is like nothing, but it is a lot. If people have never really been to our house, you know, new friends or neighbors, and they come into my office and it's like, I always joke, it's like Ollivander's wand shop. It's like packed to the ceiling, you know, with Lego. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. But yeah, now that my son is six, it's really fun because he's starting to build stuff, and it's just really cool to sit there and watch his, you know, gears turn and how does this fit together. And he goes through, you know, boxes that we have of just random pieces and builds his own stuff. So it's been really cool to do that with him.
Wow. Where would you say the Lego analogy kind of breaks down compared to a real structure? Where have you found like the limits of trying to teach with Lego?
Going from Lego seems, for me, Lego has been really great in plane. So like a 2D structure. So it's either a beam or a column or a frame. When I've tried to do 3D structures, and I mean, I can make them, but it's just like they're very rigid. You know, when you start attaching bricks and you attach the brick to plates, like it's not going to bend, and you end up with more like a real structure where, you know, if I was to load test a floor, okay, maybe I could see some deflection, but like if I'm just pulling on it with my fingers, like I can't get good results. So that's where if I want to show something in 3D, I switch to a Mola model. I don't know if have you used those in the past? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So those have been really cool to show, like, you know, diaphragm issues, you know, weird load paths, like 3D load paths. I don't know. It just seems to be a lot better. Now, I probably could do it with Lego, but it's just a little finicky. And I just don't have the time to, you know, sit and do it where Mola is made specifically for that, and has been, you know, a great tool to use as well. But yeah, anything more than 2D is kind of hard to represent.
Yeah. 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 I could see that. Now, I know one of your videos you made was about an arch, and you put, you know, mm-hmm. pretty heavy books on top of that. Did you get people asking, why aren't we designing buildings with arches anymore? Or like, you know, cause that's, an arch is such a simple, you know, structural mm-hmm. element that works so well. Do you ever get that feedback of like, hey, why aren't we still doing this like a buttressed wall in the same way that they did these cathedrals with, or anything like that?
No. It's funny on that video you're talking about. So I made one of those arches years ago. And so I've had it at my desk, and then, you know, I'm just kind of playing around with it. I'm like, man, I'm pushing down on this thing. It's not moving. So I was like, what better way than to put, you know, a mechanics and materials and whatever else book on top of them? It's like 4 pounds of books on top of this thing. But no, the number one comment, typical social media, the number one comment on that is, hey, this is an illegal Lego technique. And it's like, y'all missed the point of what an arch is. You know, you totally missed that it, you know, you don't really have to have stuff at the individual blocks don't have to be attached, right? It's like the friction between them, and it's all in pure compression. So that totally got missed on the audience. So, I'm getting torched in the comments that this is illegal. You know, the cops are on the way to your house. And it's like, guys, you missed the whole point that I'm trying to teach you about an arch.
But the Lego cops are on their way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has there been any concepts that just get the biggest aha moment from your viewers?
I think when I try to highlight like a real life structure that they use a lot. So I did a couple videos and I talked about it a little earlier, like a parking garage. Another one is like an open shed, just like what you would have like at a pool or like a, you know, a park, like an outdoor shed where it's just a roof. So I talked about like snow load on it, wind load, like, hey, uplift is a concern. You have no walls. You're going to have uplift pulling up on the roof, and you're going to have wind going under the roof and pulling up on it as well. Just I think making people more aware of kind of maybe what's going on, not that they know how to design it, but like,
yeah,
hey, yeah, like, this foundation needs to be designed for uplift because it's got no walls and the roof is going to try to blow away. You know, I don't know, just different things like that. Maybe, I've had a lot of comments of like, hey, I wish school was like this. You know, very visual models.
Yeah.
Would have been cool.
Yeah. And I think that's, you brought up MOLA. I think that's hopefully where they can get, you know, into is the schools. Cause I think,
yes,
building things with MOLA has been, you know, eye opening. I've brought it into my office, the couple kits we have, and, yeah, interns and young engineers, you know, find, I think they understand it, but it really connects when you see that shape and like you can push on it, you know, physically than with a computer program.
Yes. And like MOLA, one of the things that has been cool, I tried to do it and it was a series I started and I really want to go back and finish it, is modeling irregularities with MOLA.
Oh,
so
yeah,
like vertical irregularities and horizontal irregularities, when you read it in, you know, blurb form in the table in ASC 7, you're like, what did I read? Like, what is this? But if you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, this makes sense. You know, I've got offset frames. Like,
yeah,
okay. And you push on the model and the model's really, you know, focusing a lot of load with the columns right below these frames where it's discontinuous. You're like, oh, well now I know why you designed these columns for Omega. Like just different things like that. I wish I could do more of incorporate like code requirements into these videos I do. It just hasn't happened yet. I gotta find the time to do that.
And you're in a, if I remember correctly, a special part of the country to where you have high wind and high seismic, right?
That's down near the coast near Charleston. We have high seismic and hurricane force winds. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I learned that in the last couple of months. And you know, I worked on the West Coast and then now in central United States. And when you work on the West Coast, you think the only high, you know, majority of the high seismic is just right there. But
yeah,
definitely other places sure.
The biggest difference in doing, it is high seismic. We get a lot of seismic design category D in Charleston. And a lot of that's driven by bad soil. It is high from like, you know, spectral response. But one of the main differences that I've seen is the contractors. So like out west, they're all very aware of seismic requirements and non-structural seismic requirements. But a lot of times we feel like we're the ones maybe driving the ship a little. And I don't know, you know, I'm very confident in designing a structural system, but I'm not super confident in how every, you know, however many feet you need a seismic brace for your fire line or like your cable tray. You know, they're always like pointing back at us and I'm like, okay, there's something new to learn. But yeah, near Charleston and then in Tennessee near Memphis has high seismic. That's kind of it on the East Coast.
Yeah. So going back to your content, how do you choose which engineering topic you're gonna turn to for your videos? Like how does the content schedule or, you know, how does that drive?
It's kind of changed over time. So having two little kids, it has slowed down, is definitely slowing down. But, I really just try to see, I really make content based on stuff that I've seen or stuff that's confusing. So whether we're talking about something at work and we're explaining to someone like unbraced length, you know, I'm talking to a, you know, pipe engineer and you're like, yes, I can't make this column, you know, 40 feet tall. Like it's gonna have to be braced somewhere, or a big piece of ductwork. And you're like, okay, maybe the way I'm explaining it needs to be shown in a visual way. So yeah, it's really just kind of, if something kind of piques my interest, I mean, I have a lot of things that are a lot more technical that I would like to do, but I just don't know if they would have the same reach and the same level of interest. They might. I might need to try that out. But yeah, just kind of whatever I'm kind of in the mood for. It's kind of a non-answer. But yeah, it's kind of... I had a big list of things and I've kind of like revolved through them the first iteration. And now I kind of need to go back and expand it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I like that too, because it's not like you're putting all this pressure on yourself to, like, here's the list, here's the schedule, we got to stick to it.
Yeah.
It's like whatever is exciting you at the moment. I think that often continues the drive, right? You don't feel like it's a job, it's making cool things.
yeah.
So walk us through that process from idea to build to post. What does that what does that look like?
Sure. So okay. So like the idea, the building, and then posting. So some days I would say it's very organic and it's very, very quick. Like, okay, an idea popped into my head. I go into my room, I pull out a few pieces, I put something together, I video it, take some pictures, and then it's ready to go. I mean, maybe like 30 minutes total. And then other times it's like I might be on the road, we might be, you know, traveling or out somewhere, or I might be on a job site and I'm like, oh, I just thought of this idea. And then I'm like, okay, text it to myself, make a note. But it really goes from testing out a model that's going to work, whether that's with Lego or like Mola. More so with Lego would be, okay, is it stable? Like if I'm trying to do a frame, it's you kind of have to do some weird things to keep it from just falling falling over while you're pushing on it. So I have a lot of bloopers on my phone. But and then the posting, I really Caitlin does help me some. So because I try to get her to read some of my captions because I don't want it to be too technical and just like, you know, eyes glossed over, like what am I reading? Like I want someone to learn something, but I also don't want to bore them to death with super detailed engineering jargon. So it really varies, but for the most part it's see something out in the real world, have that concept in my mind, go back and how can I change this into Lego, like simplify it down a little bit, and then create content that's going to be educational for my viewers.
Yeah, I like that a lot, simplifying things. And
yeah,
that's a good idea to have your wife to review it and make sure.
Yeah.
I like that part.
Yeah, and her counseling background, you know, like no engineering background, so she's kind of like, yeah, I don't know what this means. So I'm like, okay, I go back into my office and I'm like, all right, you get in there and you make this, you know, applicable to everybody, you know, like, because that's the biggest thing is I think engineering is so black box is not the right word, but maybe so. Like, you know, how do you explain to someone what why there's a different unbraced length for axial load compared to bending? It's like, okay, well, if I can show you, if I'm only putting axial load on this beam, like what happens, or if I'm only bending this beam, like it's trying to rotate, like all these different things that you can try to explain visually better than trying to do it with words. That's just what I've been trying to stick with. And I hope that it's coming off good. Sometimes I know some of my what's crazy is the reels that I really have not spent a ton of time on are the ones that go, you know, everybody sharing and commenting on, the stuff that I spend, you know, hours on. No, nobody's interested. So I'm trying to find the balance there.
Yep. Yeah. I have it. So this audience that you've built, what does the interaction with them look like, and how does that influence the way you're kind of changing what you're doing, or, you know, changing the way you're explaining the engineering?
Yeah. So I would say when I first started on social media, I really was just trying to come at it from, I'm going to build official Lego sets, and I'm going to explain kind of what is going on. So the Millennium Falcon, I did that, the Colosseum. So I did a lot of content on like, hey, Lego did a fantastic job on the Colosseum, and it's how you would kind of like expect the real Colosseum to look as you put it together. And that kind of morphed around, I guess, that 2023 timeframe when I made my first, like, here's a beam and I push on it and here's what it does. And it went viral and, you know, everybody's commenting, this is so cool. Like, I wish college would have been like this. I wish I would have picked engineering if I would have known it's more like building with Lego. It's like, oh, wow. Like, there's a whole group of people that enjoy this type of content. So I still build Lego sets and I still talk about them some, but it's shifted more to, just more about the design process and the design philosophies Then where I started with explaining Lego sets, now I'm like explaining engineering with Lego, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it frequent that someone's commenting, asking and requesting for idea or like concepts they're looking to explain? Or
Yeah, a lot of times. And it's more like complaining that I didn't say something exactly right. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's 2026 and everybody's an expert, you know, when you're online. So it's like, you know, I show something that I've always called a prop cantilever and they're like, no, this is not a prop cantilever. It's a fixed overhang. It's like, okay. I mean, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's like, there is a cantilever in this, you know, like I am a licensed structural engineer. I do understand what structural engineering is. It might not sound like it sometimes, according to some people on the internet, but yeah, I've had a lot of people just ask like, hey, where'd you get these pieces from? Like I get a lot of comments about that. They might not know Lego, but they see this and they're like, hey, I want to replicate this. So, you know, I'm sending, you know, random part numbers to these people. I'm looking up, you know, hey, here's the Technic pins I used and here's the axles and here's the kind of base plate you can use, you know, to hold everything together. Yeah. So it's a little bit of both. I'd say it's probably 98% really great interaction. And then, you know, some people are like, yeah, we already knew this. It's like, well, thanks for taking time out of your day to tell me that you already knew this, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, that part always blows my mind. The people that get, you know, step out of whatever they're doing in the day to say those types of things.
Yes.
It's always mind boggling. And I always, you know, initially, you know, as Max and I also put ourselves on the internet with doing the podcast and people are saying stuff and it was just like, man, they're right. You know, maybe we're not the best to do this or something. And then Max and I had this conversation. I just remember it was probably a year and a half into doing the podcast. And it was like, Max, have you ever took time out of your day to write something bad towards somebody, you know, on the internet? And he was like, no. And I was like, these people must be in a pretty rough place in life to take time out of their day to put us down or something, you know? And I just,
sure,
I feel for those people.
Yeah. You want to reiterate, this is like a children's toy. I'm doing this for fun and it's a kid's, you know, like we're just trying to have a little bit of education around something that, you know, I'm passionate about, passionate about Lego and passionate about structural engineering. So it's like, I don't get it, but they are quite amusing. Sometimes.
Yeah. So have any engineers or students reached out and told you that you really helped them understand maybe a tough concept for them?
Yeah. I've had a few people, reach out that are in college or about to graduate. And they're like, yeah, this has been really good for me to see like concepts, especially, some guys I'm thinking of that hadn't, they didn't really have great workplace, environment as an intern. Maybe they didn't get exposed to a lot and it was kind of just like, hey, this is what we do and don't kind of ask questions. So to be able to visually see some of the stuff, especially I would say with the MOLA models, like when I did some stuff with the irregularities, I had a lot of people reach out like, okay, this makes sense. Like I'm looking at YouTube videos, like what are these types of irregularities? Like, why do they matter? Why is the code, you know, allow some, but then others you're penalized and then some aren't allowed, you know, and to kind of show the different ranges of like, yeah, this one's bad and it, you know, it requires a penalty. So you're gonna design for Omega for a lot of the columns or beams. And then this one is like detrimental and you're not allowed to do this in this type of seismic design category. So a lot of interaction, which I need to make a mental note to go back and finish the series of like, let's talk about every type of irregularity. Cause it's something that I feel like once you know it, it's intuitive. And like, I don't really think about it anymore. And you probably don't either, but like learning it for the first time or being tasked with a job that's on the West Coast. And you're like, this is all new to me. Like I'm reading chapter 11 and chapter 12 in ASCE 7. And I'm like, I didn't learn any of this in school. Where do I even, what do I even do? So,
right. Yeah. You know, I think one thing with structural engineers is no one knows of us and what we do until there's something bad that happens. How do you think your content is changing how the public views or is knowledgeable about structural engineers?
Well, I hope it's increasing the visibility of what structural engineers do. So, you know, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it knocks me down a few pegs when I, you know, introduce yourself to somebody that you never met before and they're like, hey, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a structural engineer. And the first thing they say is, oh, like, so you're like an architect? I'm like, oh man, that is like, you know, I'm standing 2 inches shorter for the rest of the day. No, so it just visibility of like what structural engineers are capable of. You know, we can be creative. It might take a little more effort, but we can be creative. But also what we do and what value we kind of bring to the engineering disciplines, the rest of the across any type of construction project, you know, what experience and how we kind of help everything move along. But we really are. I mean, you said it exactly right. We're kind of in the shadows until something doesn't go right. Just hoping that a little more visibility that it's a great career path and, you know, it's really cool and it's really interesting, designing structures.
Yeah. I mean, I always think without structural engineers, you know, people don't get to go into buildings feeling, you know, as safe as they do. It is because of the industry that we're in that people don't go into buildings looking up going, oh man, is this a safe one or not? And
yeah,
it's such a cool thing that we get to bring to other people and to, you know, provide that safety.
Yeah.
And hopefully no one knows who we are.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, we've talked about it a little bit, but is there, you know, how often do people kind of reach out saying like you've oversimplified the engineering or like that feedback loop, I guess, is pretty powerful, or mostly it's been going pretty well?
Yeah, I could think of a couple examples where oversimplifying engineering and oversimplifying some of my builds and it maybe has confused, maybe where I'm creating confusion, maybe not criticism, but like, hey, I didn't really word this right. Or like, you know, one of the ones I can think of specifically is I built a 2D frame and I put it on a base plate, a really wide base plate. So when I push on the frame, you know, if you imagine a 2D frame, I'm pushed on the top left-hand side. The left-hand column is pulling up with tension, right? You have a tension on the left-hand column, compression on the right-hand column. Well, I zoomed in on that, the bottom of the base plate to look at it pulling up on the base plate, and you could see it warping the base plate. And I wrote like direct tension up from a shear load. And it like every comment was like, you don't have tension from shear loads. And I was like, yeah. If I had zoomed out, right, like I wish I would have shown the whole frame to start with, because it would have made sense. Like I have overturning, this frame's overturning, which like now looking back, I would have definitely done that different, because I do think that was a teaching moment of like, hey, there is a shear load when I'm pushing on a frame. There is a tension and there is a compression. There, you know, there's this force couple that's going on that you might kind of ignore sometimes, unless you're really kind of in tune with it. But yeah, I mean, again, it's 2026 and everybody's an expert. So there's always some criticism, but I think it's a huge way outnumbers the positive interactions. But yeah, I've gotten maybe a little too in the weeds and confused people. Maybe instead of showing an entire model, then zoom in close, I kind of started close and it kind of got lost on some people, but I'm learning.
Yeah. Hey, that's all we can do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So let's say another professional wants to, you know, start creating engineering videos and maybe give a different way of doing it. What advice would you give them in starting off in, you know, into the world of social media and content creation as an engineer?
Yeah. I would say start simple and start with stuff that you're really interested in. So I think the one thing about everybody being connected and everybody being online, like they can sniff out if you kind of know what you're talking about or not pretty quick. But being able to take something that's super complex and boiling it down to like a 10-second clip is a lot harder to do than I thought it was going to be. You know, like there's a lot of I've got a lot of bloopers. But to take something that you're passionate about and to be able to explain it, you know, on a second, third, fourth grade level, so that not because people are dumb, that's not what I'm trying to say. It's just that you just need something in today's society. It's like, if I'm not interested in 2 seconds, I'm swiping to the next video. So catch somebody's attention and hold their attention and kind of explain a topic that they feel like they've learned something. And I think you're setting yourself apart from, you know, the vast majority of people that I guess would call themselves content creators.
What would you say is something you've learned through doing this that you wish you had learned or knew earlier in your career that, you know, a young listener listening to the podcast right now could share with?
I would say putting limits on the amount that I'm on social media. My ears are burning as I'm saying that because, you know, that it's hard to do sometimes trying to run this page, but setting boundaries, you know, not feeling like I've got to stick to a certain schedule and a routine. You know, it's kind of like, this is something that I really enjoy doing, but like family and friends and doing stuff with people from church, like that comes first. And then also my work comes first to be able to provide for all this. So not elevating the content creation over anything else that you have in your life, just letting it be a fun hobby. And letting it just be a hobby, like not trying to treat it like a job. I'm sure that is that feel like that with the podcast? Does it feel like this is part of a job sometimes for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we try to drive to keep it as fun and hobby, you know, than a job for sure.
Sure.
What about Lego sets? I'm curious. As I've, you know, looked and, you know, played with them growing up and even, you know, more recently been at stores where they have these just massive sets of Lego. What's a set that you're looking forward to or something that you're like, man, that's huge. One day.
Yeah.
What is that set for you?
I have the Eiffel Tower. It's in my closet. I haven't built it. I have nowhere to put it. That's the problem. You know, it's like 4.5 feet tall. It's on a giant base plate. And
my goodness,
I think Caitlin would die if I built it and wanted to put it out in like the den. So I need to find someplace to put it in my office. I don't have a big desk, so it would dominate my desk, but I've never seen the Eiffel Tower in person, but I'd love to build this set and, you know, go see it one day. But that's probably the one for me that I'm looking forward to building, is the Eiffel Tower.
Roughly how many pieces is that? How long
do you think it would take? I don't know. Let me look. I think it would take a long time. So it took me probably like 40 hours to build the Colosseum. And I think it's about the same similar. Like, you know, thousands of pieces. And a lot of gray. It's a lot of gray pieces.
Dang. I can't wait for that. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
We traveled to Paris a few years back, and the Eiffel Tower is this amazing structure that I always, you know, thought of as a, you know, saw as a kid on TV and whatnot, and then slightly learned about that in engineering school, and then to see it is magnificent.
Oh man, yeah, that would be awesome. just to get up close to it and see the connections and stuff, you know, I think would be really cool.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's always interesting, you know, now with all the software we have, it seems like most structures would be hard, you know, that we feel more confident in designing them because we have this complex software that can model it better. And to see these different structures that were built so long ago without any sort of computers is fascinating.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've gotten to go to several Lego conventions, so I don't know if they have Lego conventions near you, but I'm part of a group. It's a Lego user group, so a LUG called SC Bricks. So shout out to my SC Bricks people. They do a lot. We've got a busy schedule, so I try to participate as much as I can. But in the past,
I did build a really tall, it's a Burj Khalifa, so the, you know, the tallest building in the world. And so it's like 11,000 pieces. So it's like 5 feet tall. And I take it with me because it's a real talking point. You know, I have a QR code to my Instagram account there. And it, you know, it just, people are like, wow, is this like a real building? It's like, yeah, this is the tallest building in the world. You know, like I have a fact sheet about it, about the real building and about the real foundations. I didn't really post a lot about that because it's kind of a separate thing, like when I go to Lego shows, but I do have an idea that I haven't seen done before from Lego shows, because, you know, you see thousands of people coming through and it's a lot of kids. And so, you know, they might get influenced into doing engineering one day. So what I want to do is I want to do like a really long table, maybe like 5 or 6 feet long and maybe 18 inches wide. And it's like greenfield site to 18 wheeler rolling off the production line. So like the first, you know, 6 or 12 inches of the build is just green grass. And then you have excavation started. So maybe some small bulldozers and stuff moving dirt. And then you see they're doing foundations. So you'd see like where the columns are going to go, then erecting steel. So maybe some small steel frames, and then the building, and then 18 wheelers coming out the end. I don't know. I just think that would be like, that's what I do every day. You know, you know, a lot of renovation of existing sites for my job, but some greenfield stuff that's like, if you go there and you stand out there and then 2 years later you go back and they're creating, you know, whatever it is, toothpaste, deodorant, you know, machine parts. And you're like, there was nothing here. And like all this got brought in and done expertly by all these different crafts and trades and engineering, but it kind of goes on quietly. So I just thought that that would be a cool piece. I think people would be interested in seeing. Hasn't happened yet. It's still, you know, only in my mind. If I find like a month to take off to do this, I'll try it. But I just think that would be cool to see. It's not, you know, a gimmicky little video. It'd be like, hey, this is what really happens. Like for you to have, you know, basically anything that you kind of buy nowadays, like it's made in a factory somewhere, most likely. And this is what has to go on to get the factory up and running. I don't know. I just think that would be a cool video. And video and it's something that they could look at when they go to Lego conventions.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would give, I think, too, a good perspective of like the world of structural engineering. It's not just, we all designed the Burj Khalifa, right? There's
a
lot of other buildings. Although the Burj is such a cool building and structure.
I know.
Have you, I'm just curious. I feel like I would immediately get to, for some reason, building a shake table.
Yes, I have. Yeah. What I did it with a Mola model. I used the marbles and I used the base plate and I attached it with Velcro. But the main issue I had was I could never get really something to be, it's either super stiff or way too flexible.
Yeah.
So Mola still seems to be the best way to use a shake table. And I've done that. I have a couple videos and I can reshare them so they end up towards the top of my feet with hanging D-sized batteries off the top. So like showing the difference in a damper or a mass irregularity, like how the structure reacts different under the same, you know, oscillations. It's still shaking the same, but this one structure is not moving at all because it's got a damper at the top, or this structure is moving a ton because I put a bunch of quarters, you know, on the second floor. I don't know. I just think you explain that to someone with words and it's kind of like, yeah, okay. But then if they see it, it's like, oh, wow. Okay. And it's like, okay, take that. And this is what it looks like in real practice, you know, tune mass dampers, you know, where you have mass irregularities, you know, that can happen anywhere. On a bunch of the buildings we design, we end up with mass irregularities. So being able to show clients, hey, you know, this right here is why, you know, this level of bracing is gigantic. You know, it's different than the other floors. This floor, you know, or the floors below it need to be designed all the way to the ground. Like, I don't know, visually showing people what we intuitively know is something that I'm trying to capture.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Is there any questions that I've not asked that you think it would be great for the listeners to know or understand about what you're doing with Lego and your content creation?
The one thing I would just encourage people is to always be learning. So, you know, I took the SE exam in 2016 and 2017. And like, I would have probably said my learning is over. That exam's done and my learning's over, but that's really far from the truth. So whether it's at work or, you know, wanting to start your own thing on social media, content creation, or just learning more about anything, it's just like, just always enjoy that learning. Cause you know, I mean, 2026 is a time where, yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff online, but also like you can literally learn almost anything about everything today. You know, if you're looking in the right places and you, you know, you're able to test out what you see. So yeah, just to continue to enjoy learning, cause I think it's a constant improvement that you can do by that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Lead with curiosity, you know?
Yeah, lead with curiosity. That's good.
Okay, so to wrap us up here, what does the future of your content look like?
I need to be making a list of all these ideas I've had now talking to you. I really would like to bridge the gap between... So I do have, in the growth that's taken place, which is crazy, over the past, you know, several years, I do have a lot of people who are professionals who follow me. And I think it would be really cool to not that I'm telling them how to design stuff, but like, hey, here's an excerpt from the code. And then, hey, here's it modeled in Lego. And then here's a way to, you know, detail it or something like that. And then, so that's one side. And the other side would be for, I guess, the layman, like load path. So I don't know if load path is super obvious to people, but I've had a few reels where I take pictures or videos and I just draw arrows like, hey, here's what the load's applied and here's where all it has to go before it gets down to the ground. And I think that is a new concept to people who probably aren't structural engineers who, you know, you walk into a arena and you're like, yeah, okay, wow, they didn't, you know, the bottom cord's a tension wire. And you're like, that's pretty cool, but no one else would know that, right? But if you posted about it and you're like, hey, you know, the Bon Secours Arena in Greenville, the bottom cord on all the trusses are wire. You know, it's can't take compression, but it's okay because it's always in tension. Like, just interesting things that people might not know that are in their everyday structures, I think would be something I want to continue to do.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us on the Structural Engineering Podcast.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.